Well, good evening. Thank you for being here this evening. I want to thank Brother Aaron for reading 1 John chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. This evening, I want us to ask ourselves, do we truly understand the Christian's walk and what it truly means? I have several things here this evening that I want to look at, and most of you have probably read these verses many, many times over. But I want us to truly stop and think about the verses and what they mean for the Christian walk. First of all, a Christian should walk worthy of his vocation. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of your vocation wherein ye are called. Worthy, desiring. Do we truly desire our vocation, our calling? We are called by the gospel. We are called unto good works. A Christian should walk worthy of our calling. Again, we can read in Romans chapter 1 and verse 6, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, among whom ye are also called of Jesus Christ. Have you really stopped and thought about our calling? We're called by the Word of God. We're called by the gospel. And we should walk worthy of that calling. So the first point is, we should walk worthy of our calling. We should walk worthy of our vocation. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. It's very important for us to fully understand that if we are going to walk worthy of our calling, then we must increase in the knowledge of God. If you are trying to learn something new, whatever it might be, you know, for a man, it may be learning how to weld or learning how to work on an automobile. We will do everything that's necessary to learn that vocation. We will study. We will apply the things that we study. We will try to perfect our talents. But yet, as Christians, do we really put that much effort towards walking worthy of our calling? Or are we satisfied with just coming on Sunday morning and Sunday night and maybe Wednesday if we get a chance to? Are we walking worthy? And that, I hope that each and every one understands that the word walk literally is live. A Christian should live worthy of his vocation. A Christian should live worthy of his calling. Do we do that in our everyday lives? Secondly, a Christian should walk by faith. You know, we proclaim that all the time, do we not? A Christian should be walking by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Again, that word walk here literally is we live by faith and not by sight. It's how we live every day in faith, not by sight. We walk, we live by faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. I'm sure Brother Aaron will get to that chapter before too long. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is the substance of things hoped for? What does each and every individual Christian hope for? Is it not heaven? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How many of you here have seen heaven? Nobody. But yet we believe there is. Why? Because we live by faith. We live by faith and not what we see. We live by faith and not by sight. And that's very important because if a Christian is not living by faith, then is he truly a Christian? We walk by faith. We live by faith. We live worthy of our calling. We live by faith. And thirdly, a Christian should walk in love. Literally, a Christian should live in love. Am I correct? Should we not love one another as Christ loved us? John chapter 15 and verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. Did we catch what John said here? You know, we've read these verses many, many times. But did we really grasp what John said? This is Jesus speaking, okay? Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Oh, I love Jesus. If that's what we claim, then we should be keeping his commandments. That's what he said. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments. What commandment did Jesus not keep? Can you name one? Can you name one commandment that Jesus Christ did not keep that was given to him by his Father, our Father? He prayed and asked, you know, God, if this cup could be, you know, taken from me. He prayed that he would not have to die on the cross, but yet we all know that he did die. Did he not keep that commandment? What commandments can we break and still abide in the love of Christ? A Christian should live in love, abide, literally to remain, to stay, to reside in. Then we read in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 11, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. What gives us the right to hate someone that God loves? Do we have the right to hate anyone, especially those of the household of faith? Yeah, sure. I mean, I understand that sometimes we get on each other's nerves, don't we, sometimes? But that doesn't mean that we can hate them. Love one another. Here's something else that's important. John chapter 13 and verse 34. Jesus says there very explicitly, a new commandment I give, that you love one another as I have loved you. What did Jesus say just a little bit earlier? If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. And what does John say, Jesus say in John 13, 34? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. How can we, as Christians, claiming to love Jesus, but yet maybe have hatred in our hearts for a brother or sister simply because they've made us angry, or you can fill in the blanks. A Christian should live in love. A Christian should walk circumspectly. Not an easy word to say, especially with dentures and they're loose. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That word there literally means carefully, accurately. Live carefully. See then that you live carefully, not as fools, but as wise. Are we living carefully? We should. You know, it's not that we don't make mistakes. It's not that we don't stumble and fall sometimes. But our walk, our lives are such that we live carefully and accurately in the sight of God. We can go on. A Christian should walk separately. This is important. We can start reading 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Have you ever seen light and darkness in the same room? I'm not talking about a shadow. But you walk into a dark room and you turn a light on, what happens to the darkness? Simply it disappears. It's no longer there. So what Paul here is saying is, how can we, being righteous, be a part of unrighteousness? It's impossible. We can't do it. We are either going to be righteous or we're going to be unrighteous. We cannot be both. Because it says here, what common hath light with darkness? It's either going to be light or it's going to be dark. We cannot separate. We have to separate ourselves from unrighteousness. We can go on and it says, and what concord hath Christ with Baal? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Now you got to understand, Paul here in 2 Corinthians is dealing with a lot of idol worshiping. All right? And he says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of God, the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now this phrase here, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 38 basically says almost exactly the same thing. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. All right, how are we going to be God's people, and how is God going to be our God if we're living in unrighteousness? Paul says we can't do it. What has righteousness with unrighteousness? It's one or the other. It can't be both. We're set apart. We're designated. If you set something apart, that means it's separate from the whole. So here we have the whole world. We're to be separate. You know, Paul tells us very plainly that we cannot be righteous and unrighteous at the same time. It's impossible. Then we can see that a Christian should live or walk honestly. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, again, not living in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Renounce. But have renounced the hidden thing. To disown. To be dishonest. You know, shameful deeds, and so on and so forth. Craftiness, nor handling of the word of God deceitfully. If we're handling the word of God deceitfully, then are we not literally just lying? We're not telling the truth, not telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Romans chapter 13 and verse 13, Paul says, let us walk, or let us live honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, rioting, carousing, chambering, lying in bed, being lazy, wantonness, filthiness, strife, contentions, quarrelsome, envying, jealousy. These are the things of the world, not the things of God's people. Let us live honestly, as in the day. Not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife, not in envying. And lastly, a Christian should walk, a Christian should live, even as he lived. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, or to live, even as he lived. That's pretty important, isn't it? Should we not emulate Christ? Should we not try to live as he lived, to walk, to live, to abide, to reside, to show forth Christ in us by how we live. You know, if the world simply sees the world in us, what is there to draw them to Christ? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we live in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. But if we're walking in darkness, as we looked at earlier, what has darkness with light? What does unrighteousness have with righteousness? Absolutely nothing. Darkness has nothing for us. John here says, if we live in the light, live knowledge, God's glory, God's grace, this is where we find salvation, in the light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Most of you know that E-T-H there at the end of cleanliness cleanses literally is ongoing. If we're walking in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship in the blood of Christ, his Son, continues. That's probably a better word. His blood continues to cleanse us from all sin. The Christian's life, we should walk or live worthy of our vocation. We should live by faith and not by sight. We should live in love. We should live circumspectly, accurately, carefully. We should live separately, and we should live honestly, and we should live as Jesus Christ himself lived. Let us as Christians fully come to understand that we need to live in the light. So this evening, if you're here and you're in need of prayer for whatever the reason, we'd ask you to come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
And the sweet voice.